Good. Well, good morning. It's good to be with you once again this morning, and this morning I have the privilege of bringing the Word of God to you, and that doesn't happen too often in my home church, but even though Deb and I are traveling across the countryside, and often I am preaching, but in other churches. This morning, I want to share with you a very well-known passage of Scripture, and I want to share with you something that I believe should be an encouragement to you, and it's probably a passage of Scripture that you already know about. During the week, I actually had decided that, a couple of weeks ago, I had decided I was going to speak from Lamentations. But during the week, God started working on me, and I changed that on Friday. And today we're going to look at a different passage, and it's about the Great Commission. How many of you have heard about the Great Commission from the Word of God? Okay, most of you are nodding. Now we're going to have a little quiz. You know about the Great Commission, and without turning there, it happens to be at the end of the Gospels and also in the first chapter of Acts. But without turning there, I'm just going to say that it's Jesus giving his last instructions to his followers. And I want to ask you, how many of you know what it says? What does it say? And I need a response here. Okay, just a couple, one word answers. Okay, it says go. Go preach. Okay. Teach, baptize, make disciples. What else does it say? Somebody said, I'll go with you, and somebody said, to the end of the earth. I think you got it. Let's take and read from the end of Matthew, chapter 28, Matthew 28, verse 18, and down to the end of that chapter. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. This is God's Word. So we're to go into the world teaching and baptizing, and He will be with us even unto the end of the age. I believe that this same commissioning is at the end of the Gospels and at the beginning of the book of Acts, because Jesus considers it important enough to have it said more than one time. Over and over, important enough to have it repeated so many times, so that you and I, so that we who are Christians, will get the point. And yet, the church, I'm going to suggest, often does not, it misses the point of what the Great Commission is really all about. And so we're going to talk about that this morning just briefly, and I would pray that this would be an encouragement to you as a church. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, as we look at your word, as we look at what the Great Commission has to say to each one of us, we pray that you will bless us. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Quite often, I find that churches, and maybe not this one, but churches in general in our day and age, evangelical churches in our day and age, have a barrage of different antics trying to attract people to come to their meetings. And I believe when we are going back or staying with, whichever it is, the basics of the gospel, we still will be teaching and preaching Jesus and His great commission. A few weeks ago when Deb and I were here, someone mentioned, and I had read about it in the paper just before or right around Christmas time, where a church in Edmonton had taken the cross off of their church so that they could attract different organizations to their building. And I think it's very sad when we lower our standards so that we can attract people. And this is what I'm talking about when I say we try a barrage of different antics trying to attract people to come to our meetings. Our main thought for today is this: Jesus' last command is still relevant today. Jesus' last command is still relevant today. And my objective is to encourage you here at Faith Community Church to encourage you with these very familiar verses. First of all, I want you to look at that passage there in Matthew chapter 28, and it says, "Go into all the world." So I have a question for you. What does it mean when it says, "by all the world," by going into all the world? What does it mean by going into all the world? Go ahead. Make disciples of all nations. Okay, that's good. Now let's go to Acts chapter 1 and verse 6 to 9. Acts chapter 1, this is another passage of the same thing. Acts chapter 1, verse 6 to 9, it says, and this is just after Jesus has said, told them to wait for the Holy Spirit to come. And at verse 6, it starts out and it says, "Therefore, when they had come together, they asked him, saying, Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel? And he said to them, it is not for you to know times or seasons, which the Father has put in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Question: what kind of places have you been in the world? And I'm going to ask you to just real quick, let's do a little exercise. Doesn't matter if it was a missions trip or whether it was just traveling. Where you been? What was that? I don't even know where that is. Okay, West Africa, Japan, Caribbean, Bahamas, Netherlands? Oh, Iceland. Mexico. Hades. Chilliwack. Okay. There you go. That's okay. That's that. Let's go ahead. What? Tennessee. Hawaii. Spain. We could go on. England. All 10 provinces. My wife and I have been in 9 provinces and 49 states. We haven't been to Alaska and we haven't been to Newfoundland. Those are on our bucket list. But we've been in 20 or 30 other countries. And one of those places, we've been in Europe and we've been in Central America and South America. And in Central America, one of the places, some of you know this, we've been in Honduras. And in Honduras, you fly into San Pedro Sula as their main industry city. And in 2014, it was named the murder capital of the world. A city of 500,000 people, 1,569 murders in 1 year. Edmonton was talking about the worst year here a few years ago when they had 40-some people murdered in Edmonton. And it was the worst year on record that they'd ever had. And no doubt it's bad, but Edmonton is 1 million people, round figures. I get it. The gospel needs to go to places like Honduras. I get it. You and I would agree. I think Sue mentioned she'd been to Haiti. I get it. It's the poorest country, Haiti, and then comes Honduras after that. Haiti is the most poor country in its hemisphere. I get it. The gospel needs to go there. But what I want to say next, I want you to hear. I believe all of those places that you've been and a whole lot more, the gospel needs to go there. But the part that we miss so often is what it says in this scripture in Acts. It says we start at, where was it? Jerusalem. We're going to call that home. And then, what's the next one? Judea. We're going to call that next door. And then, Samaria. Samaria is the place that nobody wanted to go. Samaria was made up of partial Jews and partial not. They were, if you will, half-breeds. And nobody wanted to go there. The Jews would walk around Samaria because they didn't want to go through it. But this scripture tells us to go into all the world. You know, folks, believe it or not, there are some churches, some church organizations that would never target a place like Black Falls because they don't want to go there because, oh, it's too close to Red Deer. We'll just build a great big church in Red Deer and pray that the people will come to Red Deer instead. Or they might not want to go to Ponoka. Or they might not want to go to Lacombe. Or they might not want to go into the country where there is no church. But the scripture tells us that we're to go into all the world. And I have fun with this passage of scripture when I go into little churches across the country and I tell them that God wants us to bring the gospel to every community. That's what it's talking about. The gospel in every community. Everywhere. Jerusalem, Judea, and even Samaria. The place that nobody wants to go. To the whole world. To the whole world. And Canada has lots of those places. U.S. has lots of those places. And yes, they're all over the world. Places that nobody wants to go. Frankly, when it comes to living in Honduras, I wouldn't want to live there. But people seem to get it. Yep, we need to send the gospel over there. But what about next door to you and I? The gospel needs to be there also. Reaching out. Now, number two, teaching all the world about Jesus and baptizing those who believe. Small churches, and I'm considering us a small church, small churches often don't have all of what I would call the smoke and mirrors. All the smoke and mirrors that the big churches in the city have. They often don't have that. And it's for numerous reasons, mostly probably because they can't afford it. Or maybe they don't have the manpower to have all the smoke and mirrors. Or they don't have the facility to run that kind of a program. But I want to tell you today that I believe that it's the devil's trick for us to think and get discouraged because we can't have all of that smoke and mirrors that the big churches have. Do you realize the big churches are really only about a 5th percentile of all churches or less? And so I suggest to you, and I want to encourage you with this, some of those props to get the job done would be really nice. But I'm telling you here and now that you don't need any of those props to do what Jesus has asked us to do here. What did he ask us to do? To go, preach, teach, baptize. Tell others about Jesus Christ. That's what he wants us to do. Preach the word of God. Love the people in your... Now, not all of you are preachers. But you are all, every one of us, if we're a Christian today, we are called to tell our fellow neighbor about Jesus. And however you do it, you have everything it takes. You have everything that is needed. And I'll tell you why. Because this scripture tells us that you have it. It's not my idea. It's what the scripture says. Jesus himself is saying, I'll be there with you. Our slogan with Village Missions is something, and that's who I work for, is preach the word and love the people. It's just that simple. That was started in 1948, the founder of Village Missions, Walter Duff. He's gone to be with the Lord, and that was over 70 years ago. Preach the word, love the people. Turn it around, love the people, preach the word. Doesn't matter. You can take it whichever way you want. It's as simple as that. And when you love the people like Jesus did, they'll know that you care about them. And then you tell them about Jesus, and they're going to be interested. It's just that simple. Any one of us can do that. You know, there's an organization called Child Evangelism. Most of you have probably heard of it. My son came to know the Lord when he was, I think it was 5 years old, through Child Evangelism. Child Evangelism has what they call five-day clubs out on people's lawn. And you go and you invite your neighbors and you bring in the teacher, and the teacher teaches a very simple story about Jesus and his love and how you need Jesus. Jason accepted the Lord in such a very real way that when he was 5 years old, he was riding in the back seat of our car, and his little sister, who was 3, Leanne, our daughter, and Deb was coming home from Prince George to where we were in the ministry at Nuco Lake. I wasn't there. But Jason knew the message of Jesus Christ so well at 5 years old because of the simple gospel that he'd been taught, yes, some by his parents, but especially right then and there by child evangelism. And he was telling his three-year-old sister, you need to ask Jesus to come into your life and into your heart. He was a little Andrew, if you will, who brought his brother to the Lord. Child evangelism is used across the country in both sides of the border, Canada and U.S. We use it in our churches. It's been used in this church in the past, I believe, and it is an awesome ministry. Last summer, we had a wide spot in the road in Amaranth, Manitoba. I'm doing a little bit of preaching here for Village Missions at the moment. But Amaranth, Manitoba is really literally a wide spot in the road. They have one street in the town. It's 45 minutes north of Portage-la-Prairie. It's got native reserves on three sides of it, but it's a white population right in the middle of that. They had a five-day club there, Vacation Bible School, if you will, and there was over 70-some kids registered for that five-day, and they, for the next 5 days, they had a regular attendance every day of over 60, and kids came to know the Lord. I can tell you another story about Maidstone, Saskatchewan. I can tell you story after story of how people without any smoke and mirrors, shall we say, have come to know the Lord because of the simple message of the gospel. They just present Jesus and love the people, teaching them to observe all things, it says in the scripture. Observe all things I have commanded you. That's what Jesus said. That part, I could preach a whole sermon on that one. So we're going to leave that piece out. That's another sermon all by itself, because to observe all things that Jesus commanded would take in the whole Bible. Our third point is this: that he will be with us always. How many of you ever get lonely? I think that when we're young, that doesn't happen as much. But as we grow older, and maybe as the kids leave the house, sometimes it's very real. And sometimes we have to stop and realize that we aren't by ourselves. Sometimes in ministry, you may think that you're all by yourself. Sometimes in working in faith community church, you may think that you're doing this all by yourself. But I want you to go back to this very basic passage of Scripture and realize that you are never alone, that Jesus is there. No matter where you are, God is there. Now, this does a couple of things when you begin to realize this. And I want us to read a passage of Scripture from Psalm 139. And I'm going to go kind of backwards with this. The passage is verse 9 and 10, and then we're going to read a couple others. Verse 9 and 10, it's of chapter 139, is, if I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea, even there your hand shall lead me, and your right hand shall hold me. The psalmist is saying that God is always there. Now, let's go backwards a little bit. Let's go to verse 1 and 2. O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know my sitting down and my rising up. You understand my thought afar off. No matter what you do with that, you have to begin to realize that God is always there. Sometimes when we're into mischief, if I was to put it mildly, we might wish that he wasn't. But if we really realize that he is right there, what it should do is convict us of our sin. But on the other hand, when God is there, when he's really there, and we realize it, we realize that he's there to protect us, we realize that he's there to guide us, we realize that he's there to carry us through those hard times. And he is always there. So as you look at this passage of Scripture, and as you consider the Great Commission, I'm going to say this in conclusion, that the work of the church, which is never done until the Lord returns, the work of the church is not to see who can make the most smoke and glitter, or to shout the loudest. But the work of the church is Jesus Christ, presenting him, presenting his great commission, his great command. Here, world, is Jesus. And I have him in me, and I'm excited about it. And he's promised me that he will never leave me, nor forsake me, no matter what has happened and will happen in my life. Do you believe that? I believe that. So, folks, the challenge is this. Amongst a world that is moving so fast, and amongst a world and a church that is changing so fast, will you be available to present the simple, straightforward, clear-cut gospel of Jesus Christ? That's my message for you today. That's something that you and I can do. Doesn't have to have a whole lot of, if you will, smoke and glitter. All he needs, all he asks, is for you. He's asking for you. Will you? Will I? Stand up and be counted for Jesus Christ.